John likes to use extreme language. He's partial to it. And in his letter, he talked about love and he talked about hate. And either you love your neighbor or you hate your neighbor. There is no in between. And here in John's gospel, Jesus uses similar terminology. It's similar phrasing. It's similar extremes. There's light and there's darkness. There's no in between. And what is it about light and dark that John wants to illustrate? It is the fact that light exposes things that are in the darkness. Look in your gospel at verses 19 to 20. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. I'm not a big fan of horror movies, really scary movies. I do like thrillers from time to time, but there is a common element that you find in a lot of these movies, and that's that they always take place at night. Well, scary movies, thrillers, the most intense scenes are always happening in the darkness. And what sometimes happens in these dark scenes is you might have your innocent good person trying to escape a killer of some kind, and what'll happen? There'll be a flash of lightning, and all of a sudden you'll see the evil person there. The light has exposed the darkness. And this is what we get in this passage. Jesus, the light of the world, comes into the world, and like that flash of lightning, he exposes darkness. But he's not exposing monsters. Jesus, the light of the world, exposes us for what we are, which is sinners. He exposes sinners. He exposes people who are living in darkness. And once exposed, there are one of two things that will happen. Again, there is no in between. One is that the exposed sinner will, as verse 21 says, do truth and come to the light. The second, and probably unfortunately the more common, is the sinner will do as what verse 20 says, which is to love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be exposed. What does it mean, though, to hate the light? And are there times where, even as I, a confessing Christian, do, in fact, hate the light? What does it mean to hate the light? Because I think a lot of us, when we think of a passage like this and we think of this extreme language, we never think of ourselves as hating the light because Jesus is the light. We don't hate God. We don't think of ourselves as doing evil works and living in darkness, but this is how Scripture speaks of us. What does it mean to hate the light? And I can think of two, three-ish kind of examples here. To hate the light is really to refuse to see ourselves as sinners. And I'm not talking about just being people who are sinful and in need of a Savior, but people who have even done something specifically wrong and refuse to see that we have done that wrong thing. The last, I don't know how long it's been, year or so, we've seen so many Hollywood scandals coming up. All sorts of sex abuse and all these things coming along, and it seems like nobody in Hollywood knows how to confess that they're a sinner. They will do whatever they possibly can to not fully admit guilt. Even when they come out and they give an apology, it's not a real apology. They're casting the blame on someone else. They refuse to come forward and just say, I am guilty. We're very good at this, though. Not just, we don't have to be an actor to be like this. We are really good at making excuses for our sinful behavior just to, if we can possibly defer the guilt to something else, we'll do it. Officer, I'm sorry I was speeding. You're right, you caught me. I was going 80 and a 65. But that train on the way to Bismarck really slowed me down. Does the officer buy that? Are you really fully admitting guilt? No, you're deferring it to the train. Has that worked for you? No. Yeah. I know I shouldn't have hit her. I know I shouldn't have said those things, but she just made me so mad. But she did it first. But he really deserved it. Is that an apology? Is it admitting guilt? Anytime we use the word but in our apology, it's not a true apology. We are refusing to admit that we are a sinner, that we have done a wrong, and by Jesus' own definition, we are hiding from the light. We would rather choose to live in darkness because we don't want our sin exposed. Anytime you refuse to take blame for your role in something that went sour or wrong, when truly you know the blame is there, you are hating the light and loving the darkness. In our confession, we had words that echoed this from Psalm 32. I'll see if I can find them. We all said this together. Then I confess my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. We want so badly to conceal our wrongdoings, to hide them in darkness, to put up the facade that we are better than we are. This, friends, is hating the light. Our Old Testament passage from Numbers helps us, I think, to understand what it means to conceal, what it means to hide, and it really gives us an idea of how, in view of eternity, how absurd it is to hide our sins from the Lord. In this passage from Numbers, we get the people of Israel are wandering through the wilderness. And they're in their 40 years of wandering because they decided they didn't believe God and want to go into the promised land. And so God punished them by making them travel about the wilderness for another 40 years. But throughout this entire time, God has provided them with food. He has provided them with water. He has given them protection. He has shown them his very presence by descending upon them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He has given his word to Moses and to them. God has given them everything they possibly need, yet they murmur and they complain and they grumble. And in fact, they tell the Lord, "We despise this miserable food that you have given us." And so God, in his righteousness and his holiness, decides that these people need to be punished. They need to be shown the way of their wrong through punishment and come back to me. So what God does is he sends a bunch of snakes out to them, fiery serpents, poisonous snakes. And these snakes start biting the people, and the people die because of the poisonous bites. And so they go to Moses and say, "Moses, we have done wrong. We are sinners in this. Go to the Lord, talk to the Lord, do something about this. We are sorry. And so Moses goes to the Lord. And then the Lord does something extremely strange. In my mind, the most sensible thing to do would be for God to just say, okay, they're sorry, I'll remove the snakes. But that's not what God did. Did you pick up on that? God doesn't remove the snakes. Instead, he tells Moses, okay, Moses, go build a bronze serpent, a big bronze snake, put it up on a pole, and every time someone is bitten by one of these poisonous snakes, have them look up in faith to the bronze serpent, and they will be healed. Now, there's no work that is involved in this. The people just know that all they have to do if they're bitten by a poisonous serpent is to look up at this bronze snake and know that they will be healed. How absurd would it be if you were bitten by an asp or some kind of cobra or whatever, and you knew that there's all your friends, they're getting bitten too, and they're looking up at this bronze serpent, and you can see that they're being healed, but you refuse to look up at the one thing that will help you. Absurd, isn't it? Of course, you would look up and you would look to the Lord in faith and see that this thing, the way that God wants to work this particular healing, works for others. I'm going to look up in faith and know that God will forgive me of these things and heal me of my snake bite too. Jesus brings this passage up as he's talking in chapter 3 of John, because it's just as absurd for us as sinners to know that we are doing wrong against the Lord and not look up to Jesus, but instead to writhe in pain on the ground as though we have never been bitten by the snake and try to go about life instead, a life that leads only to destruction. The light exposes our sin. Those who do truth, as verse 21 says, and come to the light, are those who recognize, I have been bitten, and I need to look to Jesus for my healing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, who, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so too the Son of Man was lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. As Ephesians tells us, it isn't any work of our own that brings us out of darkness. It is only looking upon his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whatever sin we might have can be exposed and be healed. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in truth. Gracious and most holy Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who was lifted up on the cross for our sake, that we might just look to him to receive forgiveness, to receive renewal, to receive restoration, to be welcomed into your loving family. Help us, O Lord, to not cower in the darkness, but to come into the light. Help us in your name.